This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's Thursday, which means the first hour we're going to be doing the Transevolutionary Fitness Radio Show with Ken O'Neill, and we're going to be joined by Paul Burke. Then later in the show, David Epstein is going to come on and talk about his new book, The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance. So you're not going to want to miss that. So let's get started right away. How are you doing, Ken O'Neill?
I'm doing well, Carl. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. And, of course, Paul Burke, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, my pleasure. So let's start off with this, Ken. Since you have had dialogue with Paul, why don't you begin letting the audience know about Paul, and we'll let him kind of toot his own horn at the same time.
All right, I'll give it a shot. Paul's rather exceptional on many fronts, so I'm just going to give a capsule summary. I've known Paul for some years, and I would imagine many of you remember back in the days when Paul was a regular columnist in Iron Man magazine. Was that called Burke's Law at that time, Paul?
Actually, Burke's Law, the book, the first Burke's Law had come out, and the articles were just basically random out of my head, things that I had learned over 40-some-odd years of training with weights and training people and so forth.
Well, Paul wrote with uncommon intelligence and insight in those years of Iron Man, and we were both cut back about the same time when Iron Man began to downsize, both in number of authors and page count, victim of the economy and, I guess, of print media going digital. But in any event, Paul has a long, varied career. He's the author of two books with a third one in the hatch, Burke's Law, A New Fitness Program for the Mature Male, Uncommon. And what I like about the book in particular is that it's well illustrated with fine points of movement, and toward the end it provides a number of charts for the reader that wants to become a bit intelligent about their body in the way of showing us what vitamins and other things do in metabolic pathways without overloading us in the way that a medical book would. The 2009 publication that I'm just thrilled with is called Paul Burke's Neo Dieter's Handbook. Paul seems like Art Devaney to be one of those people out of necessity who discovered what other people were discovering and called paleo diet. Paul's, how many pages is this? It's slightly over 100 pages.
Not
provides
very long.
Everything you really need to know in the way of principles about a nutrient-dense natural diet and its application to building muscle and longevity. I highly recommend it. And
so, where,
I guess
Paul,
the paleo movement hasn't picked up on it yet, so it's kind of one of those best-kept secrets.
Paul, where did you get your indoctrination into physical culture and nutrition?
Oh, that goes way back. I would say in 1968 is really when I started to lift weights, so that would have made me 12. I grew up on a farm, and my father was an enormously strong person. I did not get all of his genes. I got his upper body genes, but I got my mother's lower body genes. But at the time, I was quite thin, and my father, being a traditional Irish alcoholic. No offense, Ken. I'm Irish too, so. you know, in those days, if you didn't cut the grass straight or side the hay right or whatever, you got a slap in the head.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So my belief was, if I could only beat him up, I wouldn't be going through this. And it didn't take me long to realize that I saw someone with really big arms who, you know, later turned out to be 16-inch arms, but back in the 1960s, that was a pretty big arm, and I saw it, and I thought, geez, I wonder how that guy, you know, got to be like that. And so I walked up to him, and he said, I work out at Catalina's Health Spa and all this other stuff. But Catalina's Health Spa was really one of the first gyms in the Worcester, Massachusetts area, probably one of the first gyms in Massachusetts, period, that understood bodybuilding. I didn't ever go there until I had my license. I guess it was 16 and a half or 17. But I started in my basement with your typical plastic cement-filled weights with, you know, a bar that I today probably could put on the top of my head and bend. And nothing to go by whatsoever. I used to go to an Olympia Sports or Olympic Sports Goods, and not the chain that you see now. This is the
right
name of a place on Main Street in Worcester. And I would go in there and ask the guys, and they would give me, like, information that Bob Hoffman, the weightlifter, wrote, or the weightlifting coach. And then there would be other pamphlets stapled together, black and white photographs by Ben and Joe Weider, and most of it was, like, I would see somebody like Harold Poole doing a curl. And for those who don't know who Harold Poole was or is, Harold Poole was runner-up twice, I believe, in the first two Mr. Olympias to Larry Scott.
Yeah, and it was,
he was
well known for having some of the best arms at that time in bodybuilding.
And traps. I mean, amazingly enough, it was very. Larry Scott won for those arms, but Harold really was quite good. And at 12, I looked at his photograph and I thought, okay, he's got the bar here, which meant like full, you know, the bar all the way down on
right
his arms, and then he put the bar up and flexing his biceps, and then I thought, well, what happens in the middle? I had no clue as to how to lift weights, so I, instead of, like, trying to figure out what it was, I just started to do things that I thought it was, and later on these terms became X reps, burns, pause, stop pause by Mike Metzer, any number of, you know, now part of the vernacular of bodybuilding is what I did. And I had no idea I was doing it. It was just because I was uneducated, so I would do half a curl or I would do 35,000 burns, it just, ongoing. My brother would say, it's been 5 minutes. I said, no, I got to keep going. And, of course, in some body parts, you can't do that. But in others, it's extremely, extremely vital, almost, to get the body parts to grow. Since I did inherit my father's upper body, my elbows and wrist and forearms and biceps and triceps and chest and shoulders all grew really fast. And by the time I was 16, I was arm wrestling. I hadn't gone into bodybuilding yet because I couldn't do anything for my legs because I was in a basement. And after a while, I got to a point where 110 pounds, really picking it up and putting it over my head and putting it on my back and going down 10 times. And it was hard. So I didn't work my legs until I actually got to a gym. But arm wrestling seemed the right route. I went from... I won what was called the North Country Open I may have the year wrong because I don't have a trophy, but 1975 or 1976 in Berlin, New Hampshire. And when I went into the military, I went overseas to England and started an arm wrestling federation and never lost one match. when I was in the United Kingdom, I went to Paris and arm wrestled, never lost a match. The only time I ever lost a match is when I went to the World Championships and went up against the famous Johnny Walker, who really was a freak of nature. So being in England, of course, arm wrestling then was very young, even though back here it had been on ABC's Wild World of Sports for years, a decade, I think. I saw a lot of bodybuilding in England, so I thought to myself, well, I'm doing this sort of anyway, let me give it a try. And through just trial and error, this is totally natural, by the way, and in England at the time, in the late 1970s, they had what was called, maybe they have it now, a chemist shop, which we would call a pharmacy. But in a chemist shop back then, every Saturday morning, you know, Bertel Fox, Roy Duval, Johnny Fuller, any a number of people from the UK would be at this chemist shop that was owned by a guy named Angus Grant. And we would sit and talk for hours about what steroid did what for who. And it wasn't illegal. He, in fact, no prescription necessary. He just dispensed them from the back room. I had a choice, and I decided to go with no steroids for my first competition, and I won it. And I don't know if you guys know who Oscar Heidestam was.
Yes. Randy Roach, I think, wrote about him in the first Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. Or maybe not.
Yeah,
maybe not.
He was the president of NABA, and yeah, he was also the owner of, if I've got this name right, Strength and Health magazine. I believe it was
Health
called
Strength.
Strength and Health. Health and Strength, sorry.
Yeah, it was the reverse of Hoffman's Strength and Health.
Right.
Yeah, okay. All right. And he actually was the head judge. He walked up to me later and said, you know, you have a great future in bodybuilding. It's too bad that you won't be sticking around in England, because the following year I was going to go to Myrtle Beach as a duty station in the United States. Spent over 3 years in England and then like 8 months in Germany. And then to Myrtle Beach. So somewhere along the line, I picked up a book and started to read about steroids. And at the time, every doctor that I went to said, yeah, I'll give them to you, but you know they don't do anything.
Yeah, right. I know.
And
I know. I remember when, because back then, you have to remember, I think it was SIBA that introduced Dianabol, and they were
right,
handing out flyers in Los Angeles at the gyms, you know, making gains easier with Dianabol, and you could walk into a doctor and get the drug. It wasn't even a prescription required at that time. But the problem was that the mainstream, and this is what the mainstream always does, right? The mainstream
right
is saying, you know, they don't work. They don't do anything. You're not going to see any changes but the athletes that were using them knew otherwise. They knew otherwise.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and you know the reason for that. There was a study done in England, and the guy that was put in charge of it, kind of the lab monitor, was to dispense a substance like Dianabol, maybe Dianabol, to some of the group, and then the control group got a sugar pill. Well, he went and sold them and gave everybody sugar pills.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know in the physician's...
Wow, I never heard that before.
It's been documented. Desk...
Sorry, Ken?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. In the physician's desk reference, you were going to say, Paul.
Yeah, originally it said under... If you look it up, it originally said, does not increase athletic performance, and I knew that that was not right, because I had met Arnold when I was 17 years old, and he came to our gym, and I'll never forget, you know, remember, at 17, I probably weighed 170, and I'm 6 feet tall. I'll never forget him getting out of a van, and he had on a black t-shirt, and a yellow, looked like tent. Because his chest was so so enormous. It was hard to believe at that time someone could have a chest that was not like balloons or something. And then such a small waist that it looked like a pup tent on him. And he was very, very brash and confident and some arrogance. And when he took his overshirt off, because he was getting this yellow tent off because he was getting hot, I can remember thinking to myself, wait a minute. There's no way this person is just eating what I'm eating or everybody else in the gym is eating. This is something different. And I realized that at some point I was going to have to make a decision as to whether to do that or not.
You know what? I hate to cut you off. We've actually gone very, very long on this segment, and I want you to hold your thought. No, it's my fault. I want you to hold your thought right there. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up on the other side. We're talking with Paul Burke. This is Burke's Law, and you can learn more about Paul Burke by going to his website, Paul Burke, B-U-R-K-E, fitness.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's got the information that's perfectly healthy for you to snack on. He's Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
The UK is known for its queen, Big Ben, and fish and chips. Well, move over. Here's the UK's strongest pro hormone, Extreme Mass. Extreme Mass will give you a significant amount of muscle and strength, gains of up to 10 kilograms in a 4-week cycle. You'll see an increase in libido, vascularity, and aggression. Shatter your personal bests in the gym while on Extreme Mass. Save 10% off. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Extreme Mass banner and use coupon code MASS10.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead. The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Only one testosterone booster Mahler's aggressive strength raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin, releasing hormone. That in turn turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the aggressive strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is the Trans-Evolutionary Fitness Radio Show with Ken O'Neill. We're joined by Paul Burke. Paul, I'm sorry to have done that to you as we were going into the break. I had to pull that break out.
I knew I overtalked anyway.
No. The breaks can float, but I just wanted to get that break in there before we went too far. Anyway, sure. Go ahead. You want to pick up where you left off, or Ken? Do you have something that you want to throw in there? Whoever, anybody? Ken, are you still there?
I'll pick it up because
I'm trying to see if Ken is still there. I don't hear Ken talking. Oh, Ken, I'm sorry. I had you potted down. I apologize. That's my fault. Okay. Go ahead, Paul.
What I was trying to get to was eventually I did take steroids. And went to where everybody goes, or went in the late 70s or early 80s to Gold's Gym in California. And I learned a lot when I was out there. I trained with Chris Dickerson, John Jordan, Bob Harris, many of the Mike Christian, many of the really good bodybuilders. I hadn't really established myself in this country at that point. But I did realize that you know, there were genetic things greater than mine at work. Simply because of, and this is what my next book is about, based really on your joint size, bone depth, length, thickness, all those things really are the predictors of what, you know, the bicep measurement can be and the thigh measurement can be. So a lot of times you see somebody, for instance, I quit competing when I trained next to Lee Haney, because I was using probably double the weight he was using, because my thing was always about strength and, you know, being as strong as possible. He was just repping out with half the amount of weight, and he was enormous. And that's really when I quit using steroids, because I felt like, well, there's no way, no matter how much weight I used, that my chest, my traps, and things like that were going to be like that. So, you know, keeping it real, I was, you know, Mr. New England and Mr. East Coast, and I was third in the junior Mr. Universe. But at some level, I knew that, you know, genetically, I wasn't going to go all the way. And I stopped using steroids. And this is sort of leading to what Ken was trying to say in the beginning about me. Shortly thereafter, and I had no knowledge of human chorionic romatopine, so I had, you know what I mean, I had shrunk down to...
Yeah, HCG, yeah.
Yeah, I had shrunk down to nothing, and I couldn't get it back. And then I started to have a cascade of chronological problems, including, you know, thyroid, can't sleep, testosterone low, on and on and on. Had no clue what was happening. And although I got in phenomenal shape, because I realized that I started to become allergic to foods. And I could only eat proteins and tiny amounts of fats and vegetables. That was really it. I mean, I could not eat anything that I did when I was competing and using anabolic steroids. So, amazingly, I came back and did, you know, natural bodybuilding shows, which I don't know if everybody in there was natural, but I know I was. And I usually won because I had trained for so many years. The flip side of that is every year would go by, I would get a little sicker. And I went to work for, I used to train Bill Koch, the billionaire yachtsman who won the America's Cup. I actually sailed with him also. When I was working for him, I was being, you know, paid a lot of money, and I was pressured to do an enormous amount of work every day. So I didn't sleep. I virtually just did not sleep. And I think it was the very early time of 1995, I would get up, and I would feel like a stone bruise under my feet, and I was like, what is this from? And doctors would say, you look fine and healthy, there's nothing wrong. Finally, I went and I saw a doctor that I knew in Los Angeles. We were in San Diego doing the America's Cup. He had an all-women's team by then, which I trained also. It was an ongoing thing. Me and Bill, we would set up gyms and train people, train his teams. And when I got to L.A., they tested me for everything under the sun, except, and this is where it got weird, my doctor friend said, you should go see a neurologist. And I thought, a neurologist? Why? And that's when the doctor came out and said, I've got some bad news. And I thought, how would a neurologist know I have cancer? That's the first thing that went in my head. And he said, you have multiple sclerosis. Do you know what it is? And I said, no, but I'm going to know real fast. And the internet really wasn't, I don't know if the internet was really, we were just getting there. It was still a phone line, took forever for pages to unload. So I started to read books. Every single book was full of crap now that I look back on it. But I tried them all. Swank and all these people that thought they knew. So I, as Ken said, I was forced to, you know, reconcile something was obviously a congenital or predisposed.
It's diet. It's nutritional. We've done so many good shows on MS and and diet. It's just unbelievable. And so many people have a complete reversal of the disease once they eliminate some of the foods in the diet, especially grains, pro-inflammatory
Absolutely.
Type foods. They get their sleep right. It's clearly nutritional.
No, it's not.
Really?
It's not clearly nutrition.
Okay.
You may have a subset of people that are reversed through nutrition, but there are many people that that's where I was going with this, that their central nervous system is not in tune. Their autonomic nervous system is poor, post-traumatic stress syndrome, lot of things. Because if it were purely nutritional, then I would be totally healthy. I'm not. The thing swings and sways. So what I'm saying is that everybody has to find their own way of dealing with it. I agree with nutrition, but it's not purely nutritional, because if I were to say work out real hard 2 hours every single day, I would be in bed and not be able to walk. So the central nervous system has a lot to do with it, the recovery, the sleep part, the recovery, how the body recovers. But also, when you express, as Ken likes to say, a gene that is a bad gene, let's say, once you express that gene, it's really difficult to reverse it. You can't do it just with nutrition. Now, someone might get diagnosed at 35, and if there's enough knowledge out there about nutrition, they might say, oh, I'll try this, and they may indeed reverse it. That's a subset of people with MS. That's not my case. And most of the people that I know, that does not necessarily happen to them, you know, because I've tried over and over with nutrition with people, and they would say I'm no better, and they wouldn't be better. I mean, they just literally couldn't move. So it has a lot to do with multi layers of the central nervous system, the autonomic nervous system, and the thyroid, the pineal gland, the amount of testosterone or estrogen. It's so complex that if you have it bad, it's a nightmare to try to understand where did it become autoimmune, at what point, and what was I doing, and what was I not doing. And so it's a long, long road.
I want to ask you a question. Have you ever tried planned phlebotomy? Getting a pint of blood removed every so often?
Yeah.
How did that affect the disease?
Not at all, and I'll tell you why. Unfortunately for me, over the past, I would say, 15 years, I think it was 2001, while I was training in New York City, and my MS had gone away, by the way.
Okay.
It was about 1998 when I finally got it under, you know, just the only thing that I was not able to do was sleep on my own. But everything else, the pain and the tremors and weak legs feeling and all that kind of stuff went away. But when I was training really hard and I was being paid a lot of money to do television and print media, I ripped the accessory nerve out of my cervical spine right where, ironically but not coincidentally, where one of the lesions that I have in my spine, cervical spine, was or is. So when that ruptured, that changed my chemistry because of all the cortisol being rushed into my body. And from that point onward, I had to take thyroid medication. So in other words, it became more than just that. Yeah. It became a cascading effect, so that, you know, my immune function is really weak, and we're finding bacteria that shouldn't be in the gut. We're finding yeast that's not controllable. So there's a lot of different, like, there's really no such thing as just a word, MS, in real life. I would prefer we don't put a label on anything and people just say you're sick and let's try to figure it out.
Well, you know what else, too? Disorders like multiple sclerosis and even fibromyalgia typically are diagnosed by a set of symptoms, but a lot of times there's a lot of crossover with those symptoms and other things. And sometimes doctors who don't do the right thing are too quick to dismiss somebody as having MS or fibromyalgia because there's really no litmus test other than with MS, at least you can see lesions. You definitely can.
Yes.
But with fibromyalgia, you know, you don't necessarily see anything at all, but you're going from a litany of symptoms that someone's complaining about. You go, oh, well, you've got fibromyalgia, when really they may have two or three different things that aren't fibromyalgia and that could all be dealt with individually, but doctors are too quick to dismiss them. We have to take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, what I'd like to do is to get your opinion of mindfulness and meditation and how it fits into the scope of mitigating some of the problems that you had. We're talking right now with Paul Burke. His website is paulburkefitness.com. This is the Transevolutionary Fitness Radio Show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
Don't forget that companies like Monsanto have gone to countries where the agricultural industry is suffering, and said if you grow GM crops, your farmers will have an easier time growing, and it will be cheaper for them to grow, and they will do better with it. And that has not happened.
He's pointing out Monsanto's lies one at a time.
Not to mention you have to pay for your seeds every single year. You can't collect your own seeds and regrow. And those seeds are expensive. Roundup is expensive. The pesticides are expensive. And you use more and more and more. And now, to add insult to injury, you don't even end up with more bushels per acre after all of your misery.
Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio, weekdays at noon.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique and record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram.
Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Train harder, train longer, recover faster, and elevate protein synthesis. It's finally here, Splice, with branched-chain amino acids, taurine, and trimethylglycine. You'll blast through your workouts without the need for stimulants, and the alpha-lactalbumin ensures your workouts will be the most productive because nothing accelerates muscle growth faster. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Predator Nutrition banner ad and use the coupon code SPLYCE10 to save 10% off today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Now this one dedicated to the girl with the angel face and the devil heart. It was a ragamuffin track and he must be new top players can feel the case. Step up my own. Hear this.
I know this little girl. Welcome back. Her beauty is like a bunch of roses. This is the Trans-Evolutionary Fitness Radio Show with Ken O'Neill. We're being joined by Paul Burke today. Ken, I know you want to summarize what we were just talking about before we move on to the whole mindfulness aspect, right? Hold on, Ken. I'm not used to working two boards at the same time. I'm actually working two sound boards at the same time here. Sorry about that.
Am I back?
No, you are. You are.
All right, good. What you guys were saying about fibromyalgia and MS and so on is fascinating, and it's fascinating in this regard. Last summer, the British medical publication, The Lancet, carried a short article by a medical professor casting dispersions on the disease we know as type 2 diabetes. The author's position was, we've got a category error here. That's a term from British philosophy that means that we've categorized something inappropriately and inaccurately. The author went on to say that what we're diagnosing with type 2 diabetes has multiple causes. So to call it a disease with a singular cause is mistaken, that we need to look at it as a syndrome. Now, from what I've just heard you guys say, syndrome probably better applies than naming a disease.
Yes.
And if we go back about 20 years ago with the pioneering work of Evans and Rosenberg, who looked upon muscle wasting as a primary cause of metabolic syndrome, guess what's happened? We're not talking metabolic syndrome anymore. We're talking a shopping list of upwards of 35 diseases that used to be called metabolic syndrome. Now, where this all leads in my mind is that when we identify a disease and generally apply a pharmaceutical to it, what are we doing? It seems to me a far more complex etiology that ought to be dealt with systematically rather than in isolation.
I agree.
Now, Paul, fill us in a bit about meditation and visualization as you've applied it.
Well, as you probably know from my first book, and I cover this more in the book that's coming out. And I always say it's coming out soon because eventually I'll get there. It's supposed to be out this year. and the name of that, just so I can cheaply plug this, is Burke's Law 2, Reaching Your Muscular Potential Through Musculoskeletal Designation. In both books, I talk about the fact that some people can weight train and do nothing else other than, you know, eat well and live a long life. Most people who weight train cannot. And the reason for that is, by the way, I did a study The average age of a bodybuilder, a competitive bodybuilder, is 62 years old at death. So why? And it took me a long time to understand this. And it's not steroids, because this goes all the way back to 1938. So maybe some of these people, you know, recently are steroids. But for the most part, it has to do with training with weights and eating a lot of calories if you're trying to get bigger, or fewer calories if you're trying to, you know, cut down. So it had to do, again, with the central nervous system and the autonomic nervous system, which is the parasympathetic and the sympathetic. And what I found was that if you do something like, I took courses in what's called Qigong. It's spelled Q-I-G-O-N-G, but it's pronounced Qi, like Tai Chi.
Right.
It's called Qigong.
Right. It's the Korean version of Tai Chi, actually.
It's an aspect of Chinese.
It's actually Chinese.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, I had a good friend 20 years ago that was a master of it. He'd been the 1982 Chinese Olympic women's diving psychological coach, and I had saw photos of him as a 4-year-old. When he began his training at Shaolin Temple in Beijing.
Wow.
It's a very ancient tradition. It's rightfully Chinese medicine. It's circulation of inner energy.
It is.
But
Paul,
I have a question for you, because I don't want to go past this without addressing it. This research that you did on bodybuilders and their shorter lifespans. Mm-hmm. Were they lifelong bodybuilders, or were they competitive bodybuilders in the 70s, and then they ended up not training anymore when they were in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and so on?
Well, they're both, and there's really no accurate way to get a list of everybody that ever competed. But what I did was Joe Rourke gave me some of the information of the, I think from 1945 on, the Mr. America, the Mr. Universes. Then I went deeper into it and got information from the AAU when they owned the Mr. America and the Mr. Universe title back in the late 30s and early 40s. I can't say that these are people that started and stopped. Most of these people, you know, I recognize as people that continued. And I'll be 59 in January. I have contemporaries with a lot of severe illnesses and problems, and it's not all from steroids.
Mm-hmm.
People like to pin it on that because it's easy. But a lot of it has to do with what is weight training? Let's face it, it's intensity, right? You're revving yourself up. You don't see very calm, relaxed people getting anywhere in bodybuilding, weight training, powerlifting. These are not people that are sitting around eating donuts, watching TV, and saying, oh, I'm going to go out and lift, you know, 1,000 pounds. So it's really quite fascinating that most of it, if not all of it, has to do with the central nervous system and the autonomic nervous systems.
Well, that's a dead indicator that they're not very masterful of stress.
Sorry?
What you're describing with the CNS and the sympathetic nervous system are areas that traditional weight training doesn't address, because it doesn't address stress.
Correct. And all you have to do is read.
A world in which psychological stress is a major illness factor.
Right. So what I did was, first I tried yoga, and for some reason or another, because of weight training, I was not able to go beyond a beginner's session. And I would just get too tight in different parts of my, you know, adductors, abductors. There were a lot of different things that would get tight on me in static poses. So I searched and searched and searched, and what Qigong is a version of, get it, acupuncture. But it's acupuncture through movement. And you have to breathe a certain way. Your tongue has to be in a certain position when you're breathing. both in and out, and you have to move according to these certain poses. Each pose has a name. Each name means a certain organ. Each organ means a certain disease. Each, just like acupuncture. It's the same thing. It's exact. In fact, the guy that sort of taught me says that acupuncture is the lazy man's qigong. So it's a way for a weightlifter to, instead of being like, because if you do it long enough, you'll notice that you're tense. Your breathing is not right. You're always tense and or intense. So yeah, this is something that I think everybody that lifts weights and is serious about it. I don't mean people that weekend weight lift or anything like that. I mean people that do it on a daily basis. They need something to counteract it. I have people that I've worked with who have the beginning signs of fibromyalgia, and their sternocleidomastoids are, they, you know, feels like a piece of metal. And, you know, of course they get bigger and that gets tighter. And so, I mean, over the years, of course, I've learned myofascia trigger point therapy. I do it on myself all the time, but I do it on other people so that they understand that it has something to do with A, stress, and B, food. So Qigong was something that I took a liking to because it was not static. There are people who can do static poses in yoga that have great effect or great result. So I always tell people, before they get too deep into this, try to find a counterbalance, because Western people are not used to balancing things at all.
Right.
Well, it's worse than that. Our system of medicine formed from the Flexner Report of 1910, and the Rockefeller Foundation use of it to monopolize medical education. Mandated that if you were going to receive funds from Rockefeller to do research, to build schools, to endow chairs, you got rid of chiropractic, you got rid of energy medicine, you got rid of physical culture, you got rid of other things that didn't fit the biochemical model. What you're talking about, a guy I hope to have on the show, Dr. James Oshman, the genius author of books on energy medicine that takes it to a new level of real science, would indicate that what you're doing in circulating prana in yoga or qi in qigong are basically the same thing. Depends on what your aptitude is, what your capability is for doing it, because they're in the end oriented toward energy flow and distribution and harmony. That's an indicator of health.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have to take a break, and I want to pick this discussion up a little further on the other side. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll pick it up on the other side. We're talking right now with Paul Burke. This is the Trans-Evolutionary Fitness Radio Show with Ken O'Neill. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your destination for the latest in health information. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, livonlabs.com.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoForce is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoForce and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
By now, everyone knows I'm a big proponent of dairy. But as we all know, not all dairy is created equal. Learn more about a form of dairy made available to us that is raw, organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, low-heat pasteurized, and cultured with probiotics, without the offensive beta-casein protein believed to be 13 times more toxic than gluten. Check out superhumandairy.com to learn more, or go to superhumanradio.com and click the green-fed dairy banner ad today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Later in the show, we're going to be joined by David Epstein to talk about the sports gene inside the science of extraordinary athletic performance. Right now, we're talking with Paul Burke. You know, this is evidenced in so many of the smartest trainers out there. We had Sabina Scala on the show. She works with MMA fighters. Talk about stress, high-stress training. Not only are they do they have to be strong, but they have to take punishing blows to the body while not only defending themselves but attacking at the same time. And we talked about eccentric and concentric hypertrophy of the heart. You know, bodybuilders, powerlifters, we undergo a great deal of concentric hypertrophy. The walls get thicker, the sinuses get smaller, because the heart has to pump harder. It has to reach tissue under great loads, Valsalva. I mean, blood pressures go up to, you know, 500 over 400, and I'm sure that when I'm squatting, my blood pressure is up in that area.
Yeah.
And so you have to temper that. And this is a perfect example of what we're talking about. You know, if all you do is lift heavy day in and day out, lift heavy day in and day out, you're right. You are pushing your body into a high-stress arena for years on end, and it doesn't know how to calm down. And this is why it's so important to temper the heavy resistance training that we know begets muscle and strength that can add to longevity when it is balanced with relaxation techniques to get that the push and pull of both branches of the central nervous system into alignment. And this is evidenced when people buy a heart rate monitor and they start focusing on heart rate variability. They find out, oh my God, you know, I need to calm down. So it's a good point. Very, very good point.
Well, I think that's probably the missing element with those bodybuilders having a life expectancy of 62 or 3?
62.
Yeah. Bill Pearl is a lifelong meditator and looking great at 84.
Yeah.
You know, and another thing that I found, Ken, to your point, is that it depends on the person. I mean, Bill Pearl pattern and really, really, really good build for bodybuilding right from the beginning. Some people may have some of that, but they have to go to extreme measures to get the rest of it. I'm one of those people. I had similar upper body, but it was very hard for me to get my lower body to match, you know, 20.5-inch arms and 17-inch forearms. So it was, in other words, it depends on the person, but many people in my generation were drawn to bodybuilding, not the way it is now, but because kids were skinny or picked on or whatever, and that was a way to, you know, get out of it. And, you know, Joe Weider was the same way. I mean, I'm not using him as an example of a perfect body, but I'm just saying that he realized that there's something to this. But I don't think a lot of people have put stock into, oh, and I'm training like a demon, what do I do to, you know, to counterbalance this? Because I know that by saying this, 62, and people aren't going to be happy, but it's the reality. And by the way,
I think it's a stunning reality that really underscores something that our culture hugely ignores and denies, and it really is part of the rationale of the program we're doing, and that is the catastrophic impact of stress, and with it, the fact that stress is one of the easiest things in the world to control, but learning to do that is really a journey of self-discovery and will necessarily uproot and cause examination and change in very basic values about life.
Yeah.
And that's all, where it can get scary.
And we're coming to the end of the show, and really what it comes back to is something that we've been talking about on this show, on Transevolutionary Fitness Radio, and that is, in order to develop to be a true superhuman, you cannot ignore the effects of your mind. And when we talk about the mind, we talk about how it controls the nervous system and what role that plays on longevity and wear and tear of the body. You just can't ignore it anymore. You can't think that you can just grind yourself into the meat grinder at the gym and not do something with equal magnitude in the opposite direction to allow your body to find the middle.
I'm not sure that a lot of bodybuilders would even understand that. You know, going back to our discussion with Frank Zane last week, in which he talked about the motivation very frequently for bodybuilding being one of character armor. In other words, building that shell persona, not artificial, but building the body up as armor.
Yeah.
As a defense.
Absolutely.
Emotional defense in life. I'm very prone to not even using a mind. I like Danny Goleman's emotional intelligence. We don't have anything promoting emotional intelligence in our system of education any more than we do healthcare. And those are both so vital for fitness, longevity, happiness, fulfillment.
Hey, guys, we have come to the end of this interview, and it's been a great interview. And, you know, we have to have Paul
back
on because there's a lot more that I want to talk about with Paul. When he was talking about, I've had Pete Grimkowski on the show. And Pete was honest about the drugs that he was using back then. And it's insane amounts of drugs that these guys were using back then. So maybe we can have this show. And you know, Pete isn't in the best health condition today either. So
no, I know that.
But let's do this. Let's pull the plug on this interview with the promise that we'll have Paul Burke back on the show. Meanwhile, you can go to his website, paulburkefitness.com, to learn more about him. And of course, Ken O'Neill, transevolutionaryfitness.com. Ken, thanks so much for being on the show today. And Paul, thank you for being on the show. And we will be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
He's your personal watchdog.
Is anyone awake up at Capitol Hill?
Sniffing out the corruption in our healthcare policies.
You are literally selling the population of this wonderful country to a death sentence.
He's Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On the Superhuman Radio Network.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance, benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you could purchase four jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today.
Scientists around the world confirm the vital importance of redox signaling to cell health. ICEA is the first and only stable, perfectly balanced mixture of these redox signaling reactive molecules that exist outside of living cells and can be used to help maintain proper balance inside the body to support the immune system, recovery, and the healing process. To learn more about ICEA and what it can do for you, go to superhumanradio.com and click the ICEA banner ad today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. Even in the previous interview, Paul Burke invoked the genetic aspect of bodybuilders back in the heyday at Venice Beach when Arnold was there. We've always talked about some people have a genetic predisposition. But then there's a lot of people out there who say, hey, you know, you're not a slave to your genetics. You can do anything you want to do. But who knows if that's really true? Well, I think our next guest will be able to shed some light on that. He's David Epstein. He's a Sports Illustrated senior writer. Welcome to the show, David.
Thanks for having me.
And your book is appropriately called The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance. So every kid out there wants to believe that he or she can become president, or he or she can be the next Usain Bolt, because we believe here in the United States, at least, and probably other countries as well, that sheer determination, hard work, can make up for any shortcomings you may have genetically for your chosen sport. Is that true?
It's not true, and certainly belief is important. And, you know, I think there are some cases where when the genes are so obvious, like with size and basketball players, people sort of, you know, they're willing to relinquish that belief in that case because it's so obvious. But the fact is there are a lot of other genes that are just as important. They just aren't quite as visible to the naked eye. And so what I advocate for, you know, from the research I did for the book is not only having that self-belief and determination and grit, but spending some time finding the area where your talents and proclivities best fit in the first place. Otherwise, the people who are doing that effectively might have better success than you.
So the phenotypical genetic traits we can see, right? Like you're saying, you know, I'm 5 foot. I'm saying somebody's 5'7". They're like, well, unless you're Muggsy Malone, maybe you're not going to be able to play basketball. But what you're saying is that there are other genetic markers at play here that are not so easy to identify that could predispose somebody. So give us some examples.
Well, so there are, I mean, for example, even before going to the genes, right? Like if you give someone a muscle biopsy and you can see just coarsely their proportion of type 1 and type 2 or slow twitch and fast twitch muscle fibers, even though muscle fibers come in more differences than just that, they are not going to be an Olympic 100-meter finalist if they don't have a significant proportion of type 2 muscle fibers. In fact, if they don't have one of the so-called right copies of the ACTN3 gene, which codes for protein found only in fast-twitch muscle fibers,
right,
they also aren't going to be in the Olympic 100-meter final. Now, that only rules out 1 billion people on Earth, so it's incredibly nonspecific, but nobody without it runs at the very top level in the 100 meters, period.
Interesting. And you have a chapter in here, A Tale of Two High Jumpers. Does this illustrate it even to a greater degree?
This I really used to illustrate that. This is like while I was sort of taking my knocks at that 10,000-hour rule. I really wanted to illustrate the diversity of paths that can get to elite performance. So in that tale, it's two high jumpers. One, Stephen Holm, who became totally obsessed with high jump and improved 1 centimeter a year for 20 straight years. And another guy, Donald Thomas, who realized he could jump on a lunchtime bet. And a couple months later, they meet at the World Championships, and Donald Thomas actually wins with basically no training. I mean, I would be shocked if I saw a high school kid do that at a state championship. He wins the World Championship. I asked him, what does he think about high jump? He said it's kind of boring, which I'd never heard from a world champion before. But it turns out that through his training, Stephen Holm had hardened his Achilles tendon. So it takes 1.8 tons of force to stretch his left Achilles tendon 1 centimeter, whereas Donald had just been born with a really long Achilles tendon, and those are like springs in the back of your leg.
Yeah.
And you can store elastic energy by having one that's really tight or one that's really long. And so those guys got to the same spot by very, very different paths.
You know, what you just said also, on a side note, elucidates another phenomenon, right? So we know that some people have very, very short gastrocnemius muscles in their calves. So they have these very, very high calves. But that also means that they have much longer Achilles tendons. And when we look at basketball players, African-American individuals, and we've talked about this in bodybuilding too, some of the greatest African-American bodybuilders had difficult times getting their calves to look like the rest of their bodies. But this speaks volumes to the ability to jump. They have much longer Achilles tendons than long muscle bellies in their legs.
That's right. That Achilles tendon length is incredibly important. That's one of the reasons why you get such a better jump with like a drop step, is because basically what you're doing is stepping and stretching the Achilles, and then when it snaps back, it rockets you into the air.
Isn't that something?
And the bigger that is, the more, you know, it's basically a function of the distance between your heel bone and the insertion point in your calf. There's a couple other things going on, like the distance to your ankle bone helps determine how much stretch you can put in there, but exactly like you said, it's a big difference. And actually, you know, people with recent African ancestry tend to have longer limbs in general, and some what's called distal elongation, which is the limb segments get longer and thinner as you go farther out in the body.
Right.
So there are things like it might be more difficult for some of them to do bench press because you actually want the opposite of that, to have leverage from that position. You'd like to have short arms and a low brachial index, which is like a short forearm. So when I see bench at like the NFL Combine, you know, I think of teams maybe selecting against a trait they actually want on the field, which is long arms and hands and distal elongation.
What happens to the kid who reads your book and goes, man, maybe I just don't have the genetics, I'll quit now?
You know, that's a good question. Like when I was reporting the book, and I go through a lot of sort of nurture stuff too, right? Like when I talk about Jamaican sprinters and Kenyan distance runners, there's basically a nature chapter and a nurture chapter. But obviously the nature stuff I think is more new to people, so it got kind of picked up more. But anyway, when I saw some Chinese selection programs for the Beijing Olympics, there'd be like, for diving, there'd be like rows of 8-year-olds with their arms above their head, and if their elbow joints didn't meet above their head, the idea was they would make too big a splash, so it's just you know, you, out, go to another sport.
Wow.
And it's kind of jarring to watch, right? At the same time, you could argue that you're saving them time if their goal is to be an Olympic athlete. And you know, I think I don't want it to be discouraging to people, but I do think that along with valuing determination and confidence and grit, we should also value interrogating your own physiology to help you find the best fit. Not just grit, also fit.
You know, we're going to take a quick commercial break. But during that break, go to superhumanradio.com. Down in the bottom left-hand corner, you can get a copy of The Sports Gene yourself by David Epstein. It's a great book, and it's really a book that can help you make some decisions about your future path as well. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
They say that tough love is sometimes the best advice. Well, he's got the toughest love.
Why you should not drink diet sodas, it's very, very simple. If you don't subscribe to the idea that they're toxic, fine. Then subscribe to the idea that they cause a derangement in insulin response. If you don't subscribe to that, fine. Then subscribe to the idea that they spike insulin. I mean, it's like, do whatever you want, but why do we need science to tell us to stop consuming more chemicals? Are you really that pathetically addicted to something that's not good for you? Then say it. Say, I'm addicted to these things and I can't help myself. I know they're bad for me. I'm going to keep using them, and then we don't have to do research.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
PowerBlock dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new PowerBlock barbells that turn your PowerBlock dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert PowerBlock dumbbells to kettlebells. Bells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Hey, you want to get a kilo of Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum for $200? Go to superhumanradio.com. Click the Immunodynamics banner ad. Use the coupon code SHR2. My guest is David Epstein. We're talking about his book, The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance. One of the things that I learned about as I've been studying more and more about evolution and how it plays a role in our lives today, is that sickle cell anemia was a response to fight off malaria that was in really, really big epidemic levels in some of the countries where mosquitoes were biting people. But it plays another role, doesn't it? I mean, you talk about muscle fibers and malaria in this book. I mean, it's really impressive.
Yeah, there's certainly some evidence. So sickle cell anemia, which, of course, is the sort of misshaping of blood cells that can be really dangerous. So it's actually a sickle cell trait that evolved for malaria resistance, which sickle cell trait is when you only have one of the genes that causes sickle cell anemia. And but because of how it works, some people end up with two. And that's, you know, there was for a long time a question of like, well, why would this have proliferated in populations in areas of Western and some areas in Central Africa if it's only harmful? And it turns out it's not only harmful. Right. It's actually protective against malaria. So there's, you know, that's the reason why a lot of African Americans today still have sickle cell trait and sickle cell anemia, is because they came from areas that had high malaria prevalence. So there's this trade-off. And I discuss in the book evidence that this trade-off, it clearly caused people from these areas to have less capacity to create energy aerobically with oxygen, clearly. Mm-hmm. And there's evidence that a corresponding shift to a greater ability to produce energy anaerobically, and part of that was a shift just on average, not in every individual, to slightly more fast-twitch muscle fibers. And so far, all the studies that have been done looking at people from those areas, they tend to have a higher proportion of fast-twitch muscle fibers on average.
And the truth is, we all come from Africa. I'm glad you point this out, too, because I talk about this. In fact, I have had this discussion with my own children more from a sociological and sensitivity standpoint. But I'm Southern Italian, and I'm very dark-skinned. And my grandmother looked African-American to me, okay? In fact, I was convinced. I grew up in Brooklyn. I had the luxury of having friends that had both black and white in their one family unit. So I just assumed it was natural to have African-American people and Caucasian people in the same family. And I was sure that my paternal grandmother was African-American. And I'm very dark-skinned. And I tell my children all the time, look, you know, before you start judging other people, know that you have African blood in you. We, you know, being Southern Italian, we were infiltrated numerous times by the Moors. They were from Ethiopia. You have Ethiopian blood in you. But from an evolutionary standpoint, we all are African, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was not so long ago, you know, 150,000 years at the most, which is like a blip in evolutionary timescale, that a small group of humans, so there were some humans in Africa, so we were all Africans, and then a tiny group of that group left Africa, and then tiny groups from that group would continue to go on along the, and so on and so forth along the migratory path. So what you had was the entirety of human genetics inside of Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, and then a tiny subset of that leaving, and then a tiny subset of that leaving again. And so we outside of Africa really are just a subset of the genes inside of Africa. So actually, it's kind of funny because if you look at a genetic map, you know, one of the Ken Kidd, the Yale geneticist,
right,
who I talked to in that chapter, says, if you look at it genetically, I like to say all Europeans look alike, you know, because we are outside of Africa. We're just a subset. So really, most of the world's genetic diversity exists in Africa. Like if you killed every white person on Earth, you would lose very little of humanity's genetic diversity. Amazingly,
isn't that something? So. And the other chapter, the warrior slave theory of Jamaican sprinting, kind of made me think about, doesn't all nurturing lead to nature? Does all of our nurturing influences selection, and all selection ends up influencing
Absolutely.
Evolution? So it's almost like we are affecting evolution by the things that we like and that we gravitate to, and the things that we think are virtues that we are attracted to.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you bring that point up, because in some ways it sort of gets to the uselessness of the nature versus nurture, or the genes versus environment, right? Like without both genes and environments, there are no outcomes.
Right.
Genes evolve to behave in certain environments and to be active in certain environments. So there's no question about it that it's an interwoven thread, not a this separate plus that environment kind of thing, for sure.
So talk about the warrior-slave aspect of Jamaican sprinters for a second, because I remember as a young man, Jimmy the Greek making a comment that really got him thrown out of the sports reporting arena. But there were some actual accuracies about what he said, insensitively or not.
Well, so the warrior-slave theory, so when I went to Jamaica, there were a lot of people there. Specifically, I visited this area. So not only do a lot of world-class sprinters come from Jamaica, but they come from a particular part of northwest Jamaica called Trelawney, and that's where Usain Bolt is from, a lot of the other great sprinters. Even some of the top sprinters, people who hold national records for other countries, are expats from that area of Jamaica.
Right.
And so I went to that area, and there's an autonomous region there called a Kampong town, where that's self-governed, and it's this area where a group of slaves who sort of escaped and beat back the British military, they cloistered themselves in this area because it has these steep limestone cliffs and these network of sinkholes that they use strategically for defense, and they terrorized the British military so effectively that they won their freedom 100 years before official emancipation, basically. And they lived up there, and they live up there to this day, and so many sprinters come from right there that the lore there is that, look, some of the strongest slaves came to Jamaica because they survived to get there, and then the strongest of those were put in a certain area on the island, and the strongest of those escaped and became what they call Maroons. These people call themselves the Maroons. Mm. That's actually a word that means like an escaped domesticated horse in Spanish,
right,
where it's derived from that. And so they sort of claim these sprinters as their lineage because they say, look, over this hill, this is where Usain Bolt was born and Veronica Campbell Brown was born. And so that's their feeling. They say, you know, from our warrior stock, we produce these incredibly strong sprinters. And so I went there with a geneticist who was collecting DNA from those people.
And what did you find a genetic predisposition that makes these individuals ideal for sprinting? I mean, muscle fiber, aerobic conditioning, heart. I got to believe that sprinters have to have amazing hearts. I mean, you know, we've heard stories about how a cougar or a jaguar can run so fast that it actually will, its heart will burst. I have to believe that sprinters have amazing hearts.
Well, it depends. So some sprinters, like Usain Bolt, doesn't even really need his heart in the 100 meters. He only needs it after to recover.
Huh.
Because he's using all those type 2X muscle fibers that really, he doesn't even need to oxygenate them until he's done running and needs them to recover.
Right, right.
But yeah, so in investigating those Maroons genetically, so the answer was basically they look like other Jamaicans. They're not as isolated as they think they are. So it would have been a great story if it were just like, yep, you know, all these people came straight from this warrior clan. But so far, with the genetic evidence that's been done to date, which is all I could use, they look like other Jamaicans who on average tend to have certain traits that are quite good for sprinting. But the Maroon story isn't as clear as the way the Maroons tell it, basically.
So does this, in fact, support the idea that if you believe you can, you can?
I think certainly if you don't believe you can, then you can't. But I wouldn't apply a blanket of saying belief is the only thing that makes people successful.
So what's the response that you're getting about the book so far from the mainstream?
I mean, it outdid all my expectations. I thought that there'd be too much science in it for it to be appealing to a mainstream audience. That turned out not to be the case. And then I was justifiably nervous about writing about race and gender, even though I felt like I really took a scientific approach to those things, and
right,
I had a lot of experts in the field read what I wrote before I published it. But I really didn't get much pushback on that, amazingly. But I did get a lot of flack for tearing down the 10,000 hours rule.
Uh-huh.
So I was surprised that it was sort of Malcolm Gladwell's biggest fans who really had at me, not so much the issues of writing about race and gender.
I think he's been on the show. He's the one who wrote the book about it's how hard you work and your focus on training that makes a difference, not genetics, right?
Well, he wrote a book called Outliers, and in it, the most famous chapter is this one called the 10,000 hours rule, and it makes the case that 10,000 hours of practice Or people feel like it makes the case.
Yeah,
he's 10,000 hours of practice.
I think I had him on the show last year. I mean, it's hard for me to keep track, but I know what you're talking about. It's really interesting. So the reality may be that if you don't have the right genetics, you probably won't make it. If you do have the right genetics and don't have the belief, you probably won't make it. If you have the right genetics and you have the belief, you probably will make it.
I would agree with that. I mean, and I think I have this chapter where I write about how the bodies of athletes and their genes have changed since the early 20th century, where in the early 20th century, there was this idea among sports scientists, sort of, I mean, it was kind of pseudoscience because it was basically coming out of this agenda from Germany, which was running sports science at the time, that there was this, like, perfect form of man.
Right.
And this would be only, like, white Aryan men who were, like, you know, 5'10" and blonde hair. And so athletes in every sport were, like,
Say hello to Jesse Owens.
Yeah, right, exactly. That put a little damper on it. I mean, it's interesting you mention that because in the book I write a little bit about scientists who are scared to investigate, you know, genetic differences in ethnic populations because of this idea that it might mean something about intellectual pursuits. And this idea that athletic prowess was on like a biological teeter-totter with intellectual prowess
mm-hmm.
wasn't even an idea until Jesse Owens.
Hmm.
And then there was this need to sort of find a new narrative for the pseudoscience, you know?
Yeah.
But so athletes' bodies have changed a lot. And I think now, in the early 20th century, you could have been either really talented or the only person training right and risen to the top level of sports. But now there's enough, you know, sports have gone global, and there are enough people with the genetics and enough people with the right training that I think you need to put a lot more pieces together to rise to the top.
It's really a great book. You can go to superhumanradio.com and get the book today. The book is called The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance. And it's really an important book to read because while it definitely points out that you need a genetic predisposition to achieve certain levels of high-level sports performance, there's a lot to be said for expertise as well. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. We're going to talk a little bit about an underhanded softball pitcher and some professional baseball players. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Where mind, muscle, and body come for intense training. You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore. We'll be right back.
The UK's known for its queen, Big Ben, and fish and chips. Well, move over. Here's the UK's strongest pro hormone, Extreme Mass. Extreme Mass will give you a significant amount of muscle and strength, gains of up to 10 kilograms in a 4-week cycle. You'll see an increase in libido, vascularity, and aggression. Shatter your personal bests in the gym while on Extreme Mass. Save 10% off. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Extreme Mass banner and use coupon code MASS10. It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique and record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary add 1 inch to your upper arms in a single workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. If I'm smacking my lips, it's because this commercial that just ran reminded me to take my liposomal vitamin C. We're talking with is it Epstein or Epstein, David?
Epstein.
Okay, just want to make sure I get it right. You know, potato, potato. We're talking with David Epstein about his fantastic book, The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance. But there is something that can be attributed to expertise. You have a great chapter about Jenny Finch. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I wanted the book to be an investigation of things that we think things that we don't realize have a genetic influence that do, and conversely also things that we chalk up to genetics that are very much the result of training. And I was back watching TV, you know, in 2005, and there was this show where Jenny Finch, this great softball pitcher, would go around striking out the best hitters in Major League Baseball.
I remember it.
And, like, they couldn't even hit foul balls off her. You know, Barry Bonds, it kind of started when Barry Bonds approached her at the 2003 All-Star Game and said, you know, I've seen you strike out all those little girls. You got to come pitch to me. He says to her, actually, literally, I've seen the B-roll, you can't be pretty and good and not face a handsome guy who's good, you know. And he says, I'm going to bring a net because I'll hit you in the face with the ball. Like, you know, that's just kind of flirting. Works every time. Right. And so she goes out and faces him, throws a couple pitches, and he won't even let the cameraman film because he's missing so badly. He can't even hit a foul ball, you know. And she throws from 43 feet, so she's closer, but she throws like 62 miles an hour. So the transit time of the ball is actually longer than a baseball.
Yeah, he's got much more time to set up and eye the ball. The ball is bigger.
Ball's bigger.
Yeah,
right. And so I could not figure out why this was the case. Why couldn't I'm sitting here thinking, well, if he's got fast enough reaction time to hit a 100-mile-per-hour fastball, how is it that he can't hit a 62-mile-per-hour softball, even though it's thrown from closer, again, longer transit time? And it turns out that Major League Baseball players have no faster reaction times than teachers, doctors, lawyers. I mean, I outscored Albert Pujols on a simple reaction time test.
Wow.
But it's not even that impressive because he was in the 66th percentile compared to, like, a bunch of random college students. What baseball players actually do is they, through practice, have learned how to unconsciously judge the body movements of the pitcher, shifts of the torso, rotation of the shoulder, the flicker of the pitch, which is the flashing pattern the seams make
right.
when the ball's released. And they do that as soon as the ball's out of the hand, because it actually takes half the total flight time of the ball just for your brain to send a signal for your muscle fibers to start twitching, just to start, not to do a whole swing. And so they have to know right when the ball's out of the hand where they're actually swinging. They're basically seeing the future. And when faced with a pitcher whose torso movements are different, rotation of the shoulder is different, the seams on the ball, spin of the ball is different, they can't do it. You know, that advice to keep your eye on the ball, we don't even have a visual system that's capable of tracking a ball moving at those speeds. So it's total nonsense. You could close your eyes when the ball's halfway in.
Right.
Because you've already had to make the decision about where and if you'll swing. Totally learned.
Amazing. It's amazing. So I'm gonna channel Barbara Walters for a second since she's retired. David, why do men have nipples? Why did you put that in there? Why do men have nipples?
So, you know, I got on that chapter. I wrote about male-female differences in athleticism because there was a lot of literature in the sports psychology world that was suggesting that genes don't matter at all. Again, this 10,000-hour rule. All it is 10,000 hours of practice. So I tried to think back to the most basic question I could ask. Well, if that's true, then how come I only, you know, after 3 years of training, I could already break the women's world record in the 800 meters? You know, that can't be true. There have to be genetic differences. And it turns out that men do have a host of physical traits that were selected for that are turned on by testosterone mm-hmm. that are advantageous for certain types of vigorous activity, certain types of combat or endurance activity and things like that. And, you know, I go through there and I talk to experts who suggest that. So then I had the question, well, why are women so athletic, you know, if only men sort of needed these traits? And part of the answer was that, well, it's that the way that the human system works is you don't sort of pick us like cars in blue and red. It's like we have mostly the same genes, and then they're differentially activated by hormones, so we have lots and lots of similarities. So it was kind of that certain aspects of women's biology or athleticism are a byproduct of male athleticism, the same way that men have nipples as a byproduct of women having nipples. So
right.
women nipples are incredibly important for women's reproductive success and not so harmful to men that they've been selected against. And that's right. how the system works.
You know, I tell you what I'm most impressed by, right? I'm always impressed by anybody who writes a book about a topical subject matter, current subject matter, that has the wherewithal to look at it overlaid with the evolutionary perspective. And I have to commend you for that, because we don't see enough of this. We don't see enough of this in health discussions and writings. We don't see enough of this about just human condition in general. And you do, and it's so important. You know, you can't ignore millions of years. I mean, if you want to go back to our last common ancestor, 6.4 million of years of selection pressure that has gotten us to where we are now. And I have to commend you. I mean, it's a little, you know, butt-kissing here, but I think you really, really did a great service when you wrote this book and made sure that you took the evolutionary perspective on a lot of things.
I appreciate that, and I think sometimes people shy away from it because there's quite a bit of bad evolutionary research out there, what people call just-so stories, where you just take something that exists today and fit it to an evolutionary framework. So I really wanted to commit myself to honing in on good research, which is research that makes predictions and then tests them and either confirms them or attempts to falsify them. And, you know, I think that evolutionary research is really important. And you mentioned medicine, right? Like, doctors are practicing sort of applications of biology every day without any education in evolution. It's like biology doesn't make sense without evolution.
Right.
Like, you don't – it's – you know, we medicate people in all sorts of ways because we assume things about them are maladaptive. You know, it's quite clear when you give animals certain drugs to suppress a fever, if they get a little sick, they're a lot more likely to die because fever is part of a natural inflammatory response. And even things like, you know, ADHD is a high drive to be physically active, to move around in kids. And what do? We give them a drug that alters the dopamine environment in their brain, and then they don't want to move around anymore. That's our problem because we consider that maladaptive. Not their problem because they want to move around.
Right.
So I think we could think about a lot of things in a different way if we understand.
Well, and Dr. David Lieberman points out in his book, The Story of the Human Body, which I believe everybody on it really is the handbook for human beings, in my opinion. You really should know where you come from as you start your journey into whatever path in life you have. But, you know, he points out that these are cultural edicts. Cultural
yeah.
edicts have had a greater effect on selection than anything else. Look at religion. I mean, you can look at so many things. And it's just culturally, that's a snafu, because culturally we make a lot of stupid decisions driven by nonsense.
Yeah.
So it's really something. I want to take an early break, and I'll tell you why. I want to step outside the confines of the book for just a second. Since you talked about testosterone, and mentioned testosterone in your last discussion, and your last article when you wrote about the during the Olympics, the U.S. sprinter Tyson Gay was linked to an anti-aging specialist. I want to talk to you about mm-hmm. this whole notion of hormones,
mm-hmm.
Performance enhancement, and so on, and get some feedback from you. It's a fantastic book. It really is. It's one worthy of your purchase and reading. It's called The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance. We all strive on this show within the Superhuman Nation to perform in superhuman levels at all of our endeavors. And this book can be very, very helpful in helping you understand why you may not be able to achieve some of the things that you want to achieve or why you should press harder. So it's definitely a great book. Get it at superhumanradio.com. We'll be right back. It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
Scientists around the world confirm the vital importance of redox signaling to cell health. ASEA is the first and only stable, perfectly balanced mixture of these redox signaling reactive molecules that exist outside of living cells and can be used to help maintain proper balance inside the body to support the immune system, recovery, and the healing process. To learn more about ASEA and what it can do for you, go to superhumanradio.com and click the ASEA banner ad today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the product you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with David Epstein. We were talking about his book, The Sports Gene. Now, I want to change it up just for a second because I love having you on the show, and I probably won't have you on the show anytime soon again, although I'd love to invite you back anytime you want to come, but I want to take advantage of this opportunity since you're here. Okay. So you report on sports, and you were the one who kind of broke the story about Tyson Gay and his use of possible hormones through an anti-aging clinic. So where do you stand on hormone replenishment for older athletes?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I think it's a tough question. I think there's twofold things, right? Like if they legitimately need it for medical purposes, absolutely, I think they should be taking it. And it's kind of tough to, you know, is that unfair? Yeah, it might be in some ways. And so I'm very much of the opinion that the core values of sports, like sports are just, it's just the ultimate human contrivances. Take agreed upon rules and add meaning, right?
Yeah.
And one of my favorite philosophers, Bernard Suits, defined sports as the voluntary acceptance of unnecessary obstacles. And so to me, if you're sort of curtailing those obstacles by like intentionally looking for lots of loopholes, then, you know, you may be diminishing part of the personal growth in the process. So I'm an advocate of following those rules. That said, do I think all the stuff that's banned should be banned? I don't. So I'm kind of two minds about it because I advocate following the rules and yet I don't always think that the rules are correct. And so I know I'm not giving you a good answer about
No,
athletes,
you are, and I'm impressed. I have to be honest with you. I would have thought you would have been a staunch, you know, no drugs, period, end of story. And in fact, you kind of let the air out of my next comment, but we're going to deliver it anyway with the idea that you may actually even agree with this. So, you know, I think as athletes age, it's obvious that certain things start to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they have to take, you know, enzymes to help digest food, and they may have to sleep differently to correct sleep issues. And hormone levels definitely drop, and so they want to replenish them to more youthful levels. And the majority of people out there say this is unfair. But then my favorite person to point to. So these hormone levels drop as a result of age. There are certain diseases that are well understood that do not occur until you reach a certain age.
Right.
For instance, like rheumatoid arthritis, those types of autoimmune disorders, they tend to, the onset is usually occurs as you start to get into your 30s. When you look at the gender biases, women tend to be affected more than men, and so on and so forth. So we can easily say, well, these are also diseases of modernity, but they do not occur until you reach a certain age. And something that I talked about years ago on this show, which has always been a pet peeve of mine. So Phil Mickelson has psoriatic arthritis, and Phil developed it later in life. And Phil takes Humira. And if Phil didn't take Humira, he couldn't golf the way he golfs. So in this instance, Humira is a performance-enhancing drug. And I don't see anybody coming out and going, hey, Phil, if you want to golf, you know, you're going to have to get off the Humira when you golf. But they'll go after an athlete who's taking testosterone in a clinical dose, you know, 125, 175, 200 milligrams a week, which is considered clinical doses, because he's 40 years old and he wants to continue to play ball or perform athletically, and say, no, you're cheating now.
Yeah, and you're getting at part of the heart of this whole issue, which is that it is literally impossible to draw any clear philosophical line here, right? It's like whatever line is made, it has to be an arbitrary one drawn by the governors of a certain sport, and that's even more obvious when you notice that the various sports all ban different things, right?
Right.
It's not like there are a lot of overlap, but they're not all using the same list, and so That's really tricky, and I really wonder how it's going to evolve as, you know, the number of prescriptions for testosterone, you know, just the legal ones,
right,
quadrupled for men just in their 40s in the last decade, quadrupled. And so as that becomes something that's more, I mean, you've seen this happen with amphetamines, right, as so many more people have gotten diagnosed with ADHD, people start, they view those drugs as kind of like not a big deal anymore. And I assume the similar thing is probably already underway as so many more people are sort of exposed to hormone replacement. And I think that's going to prompt a really kind of some moments of reckoning
This is another great point. This is also another issue that I take with medicine and how sports dictates medicine. So there are a lot of doctors, when the whole Balco Barry Bonds thing went down and all that sort of stuff, there are a lot of doctors who also got caught in the wake of that, who were prescribing testosterone for their male patients, and they were scrutinized by the DEA for overprescribing these drugs. And a lot of them
lost licenses. Some of them bailed on their clients, says, look, I'm not prescribing testosterone for you anymore because it puts me under the scrutiny of authorities having jurisdiction over pulling my license, so I'm just not going to do it anymore. And I have an uncle that played pro ball back in the day, Joe Pignatano. And he was with the Brooklyn Dodgers. He was with the Mets. He went to the Atlanta Braves when Joe went to the Atlanta Braves. Joe Torre went to the Atlanta Braves. And we've had this conversation. He said, you know, back then, uppers, especially in the 70s, were very popular amongst baseball players, right? Uppers are basically ADHD drugs today. I mean, we're talking about amphetamines, right? So you don't see that same scrutiny coming down on doctors that are overprescribing ADHD medications to adults who come in and go, you know, I just can't focus. Well, here's a prescription for Adderall. And then that person happens to be a baseball player. And that baseball player is using that Adderall not only to focus, but to round the bases a little bit faster than they normally would. And you don't see that. It's something about hormones that kicks in what I like to call the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing. Like, as soon as you stick a needle in your ass, you're breaking all the rules. You can have a ligament rerouted through your elbow so that you could pitch better. You could have your corneas removed and reshaped and put back on, but don't you dare stick a needle in your hip.
It's an interesting thing. I mean, there are a couple. There's some exceptionalism, and it's interesting just how people perceive different things, right? Like, so, I mean, I was an 800 meter runner in college, and you know, I knew people in college, of course, who were taking recreational drugs that are really, really bad for them, and then I'd pop like a caffeine pill or something before a workout, and they, whoa, caffeine pill, you know, you're, like it's just something about the form it comes in was. It sometimes gets it stigmatized. And I just to relate it, I think, like, we're restricting certain types of genetic testing now in ways that make no sense to me because they're very similar to other medical testing. It's just this idea of, whoa, genes, they feel too deterministic, which in many cases they aren't anyway. Mm-hmm. But so there's all this kind of exceptionalism that goes on, and I think people are really I would be curious to know where information about hormones comes from that, like, most people have, because there's obviously something in the cultural osmosis about how people feel about hormones without ever having sort of any formal education in what they actually are. So they certainly suffer. I mean, look at human growth hormone. I think human growth hormone is restricted to a point in this country where in many cases it's hard to even do research on it. Like, that doesn't make much sense. Right. You know, how did we get to that point? I think it was basically, I've written about this before, I think it was basically an accident of legislation, but you know, once it gets that stigma, it can be tough to do anything about it.
In 2009, I stood outside of a Kroger's here in Louisville, Kentucky, with a pad and a pen, and I asked people if they thought it was wrong for athletes to use performance-enhancing drugs. And I asked them if they knew what anabolic steroids were. Then I asked them if they understood. Then I asked, and this is with women too, if they were on HRT, and several women said yes. And then I said, well, do you realize you're using performance-enhancing drugs? You're using steroids, estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, pregnenolone. All of these can be considered performance-enhancing drugs because they alter hormonal milieus. And people were shocked when they were like, oh, my God. I remember one woman saying to me, estrogen is not a performance-enhancing drug. I said, absolutely. I said, in fact, I'll tell you something. You give an athlete testosterone and suppress estrogen, and they don't put on any muscle mass. You give an athlete an aromatizing androgen like testosterone, and you let it convert to estrogen, they put on pounds and pounds of muscle mass that converts to absolute power and speed. So estrogen absolutely is, and she was shocked to know that.
Yeah, I mean, and so then, of course, the question, if we keep going down this line, is where or if you draw any line, and that's a tough question.
I want someone to come out and, I mean, I know this sounds, I mean, I'm not picking on Phil Mickelson. The guy's a great guy. I'm not a big fan of golfing, so it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not ever going to be kicked out of a PGA event because I'm saying this, but I want someone to, I mean, I wrote a blog post years ago and hoped that somebody would pick it up. I'd like somebody to say, look, Phil, you realize you're using a performance enhancing drug because it's enhancing your ability to perform this sport. I don't care whether you have psoriatic arthritis or not. But you should have to go out there and play just like everybody. Because remember that whole hubbub about players who couldn't walk and them having carts to play in the PGA, and there was like a big...
Oh, yeah, Casey Martin, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, okay, well, then Phil Mickelson shouldn't be able to take Umeri. She'd have to come off of it for 6 months before an event.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing, right? But at the same time, like in baseball, you wouldn't say, let's say someone was a just incredibly skilled player but really weak. You wouldn't say, like, all right, well, they can use a metal bat, right?
Yeah.
Like, we do draw lines.
Right.
It's just a question of trying to figure out, like, and they're always relative lines, you know. So I think a lot of people search for sort of some definitions of performance enhancing and biology and drugs that will give them a guiding light to where exactly we should draw the line. And I don't think it exists. So I think we have to just be upfront and say, like, these are, you know, relativistic decisions that we're making, and be comfortable with that. Instead, it seems like people are groping for a clear answer that I don't think we will ever find.
Why'd you write this book? Was this selfish reasons? Did you want to discover whether or not you had, you know, not gotten the sports performance you wanted because of genetics, or?
In a way, I mean, I was pretty happy with my career. I ran at U.S. National Championships and, you know, would have liked to win them, but was happy to be there. It did come out of my own questions, for sure. I thought it was a labor of love. I didn't expect it to appeal widely to people, but so I grew up in an area with a lot of Jamaican immigrants, and so track was really popular at my high school. We won the conference 24 straight years, and when I like flipped open an atlas and realized there's 2.8 million people on that island, I started thinking to myself, well, what the heck's going on? I'd like to go there someday. Then I move up to a little longer distance, middle distance in college, and I'm meeting some of these Kenyan runners and starting to learn they're all from the same town. They're from the same one town in Kenya. And again, I'm wondering, what the heck's going on here? And I'm training with five guys. We are living together, eating together, sleeping together, stride for stride, day after day, training together. And we're getting more different, not more the same. And again, I'm like, well, how is that possible? And so when I had the chance to, I mean, I guess the dirty secret of the book is it's like 15 of my own deepest questions about athleticism that I just got to go investigate.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, that's where some of the greatest crystallizations of understanding occur, because other people want to know this too. Your thoughts aren't occurring in a vacuum. Did you? You really need to send a copy of the book to Vice President Joseph Biden. You know that, right? Because he said in front of Congress that he wanted to be a pro baseball player, and had it not been for anabolic steroids, he would have been a pro baseball player.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. during the whole all the witch hunts about anabolic steroids and the pro hormones and all that sort of stuff, he said, "Yeah, I want to be a pro baseball player." Little did I know that these other guys were using steroids, and I wasn't willing to use them. Otherwise, I would have been a pro baseball player. He said those words, and I've laughed. I mean, every time I think about that, I think the absurdity of that. But, you know, send him a copy of the book.
Obama was photographed picking it up on Small Business Saturday, so maybe he'll share.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Listen, I got to tell you, it's really an honor to have you on the show.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
I've listened to the show, I think I first listened to you talking about like esters or something like several years ago, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So. Well, you flatter me. Thank you so much. Well, listen, it's a great book and people need to get it. You get it at superhumanradio.com. Listen, David, thanks so much for being on the show.
Pleasure is mine.
Take care. And also we want to thank Ken O'Neill for the Trans-Evolutionary Fitness radio show. And, of course, Paul Burke for joining us. And his website is paulburkefitness.com. Check it out. Today is Thursday, which means you lucky devils will get to listen to the sweet and sultry voice of the lovely and talented Lisa Profumo tomorrow on Casual Friday. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Performance counts, especially in the...